Well, good morning, church. Had I sat down on the front row, I could have understood what he said. I can't pick it up from these monitors, so I hope it was good. That's all I can say. What a joy to be here. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the Old Testament, to the little book of Jonah, J-O-N-A-H. I have known for several days, perhaps 10 or more, what the Lord wanted me to preach today. I've yet to know why, but I'm obeying what the Lord has impressed upon me. So you can find the book of Jonah. Every congregation of 100 people or more has one color that will be predominant. You won't think of that unless you stand in front of congregations week after week. But every week, every time, if you got 100 people or more in the congregation, one color will be predominant, especially among the ladies. Men are drab, you know, we just come, show up. But there's no questions today what the color is red. And some of you I felt like saluting rather than saying hello because so much red, white, and blue. It's neat. So glad to see it. I do not know of a pastor in America other than your pastor that I would be willing to drive 8.5 hours to get to a place to preach. What should have taken me 7 took me 8.5 because of the traffic. And so I left very early, 6:15 yesterday morning, and 8 hours and 30 minutes later, I got here. So I got rested up and I'm ready for today. Amen. And this morning, and perhaps tonight, we shall be in the book of Jonah. Again, I don't know why the Lord has impressed this upon me, but this is where he has put me. It is a book of 4 chapters, 48 verses. It is one of 2 books in the Bible that ends with a question mark. You're familiar with the story of Jonah. You've not read it in the scripture, but I am sure that the biggest miracle in the book of Jonah was when Jonah got back home, convinced his wife that he had been where the Bible says he was. Now, how are you going to prove that to your wife is beyond me. The book is a book that has in it the name God 15 times. There are only 48 verses in the whole book. 48 verses, 15 times the word God, 17 times the word Lord, 16 times the word Jonah, and 9 times the word Nineveh. It is an amazing book. Those of you who like to take notes, I will give you a reference to check. Not now, but on your time, if you will go to 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. The word Jonah appears as a prophet during the days of Azariah, which we know more commonly as Uzziah or Uzziah. We say it's U, but it's really pronounced A, Azariah, in the days of Jonah the prophet. So that takes us an idea of when this occurs. It is the book of Jonah, his call, his disobedience, his obedience, and his bigotry against the people that God called him to preach to. No way can you excuse Jonah for his disobedience to the Lord. No way. But in some respects, Jonah being called to go to Assyria when they were world power and enemies of God's people, the Jew, barbarous people, professionals at torture, and God to call him to leave his home and go to the enemy and preach would be in some ways like God calling you to go to Iraq on September the 12th, 2001, or to go to Japan on December the 8th, 1941. He's walking into the home headquarters of the enemies of his people. Not to excuse him, but to explain a bit. The book of Jonah criticized often, yet ignored by many Christians. But it's a very practical book, has prophecy in it, has history in it. You can study it historically, you can study it prophetically, and you can apply it personally. What I want to do this morning is look with you at the first two verses of the first chapter of the book. And I want to focus on the person of God. We could focus on Jonah, we could focus on the people of Nineveh, we could focus on the seamen in chapter 1. An amazing thing with the seamen, I'm not going to deal with it, but if you read the first chapter, they called Jonah and said, "Call upon thy God." But after he told them who he was and why the sea was tempestuous, they began to call on the name of the Lord. Interesting. They went from thy God to our God, our Lord. Now in the third chapter, the people of Nineveh repented, but they did not, the word Lord does not occur in the third chapter. They called him God throughout the third chapter. Interesting. Just, I can get obsessed with all of the dynamics of the book of Jonah. Again, I want only to focus on the person and the power of God in this book. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, because their wickedness is come up before me." I have to interrupt myself, and that's one of the privileges of being an old man. You can just interrupt yourself without apology. One of the most and misunderstood words in the whole Bible is the three-letter word, F-O-R. The word most usually is translated not for in order that, but because. Because. And there's a certain denomination that believes in baptismal regeneration. And if they would read Acts 2:38, be baptized because of the remission of sins, not for, because their plan of salvation includes a work of man, People don't baptize themselves. God does the saving, but somebody has to baptize you in order for you to be saved. And if they translated the word for, because, then their whole theology falls apart. I interrupt myself often without apology. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, because their wickedness is come up before me." The very first word in verse 1, don't overlook it, it's now. That little word speaks of the eternality of God. Now, all history past, all prophecy future, from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. Beginning of what? In the beginning of time. It's the only thing it can be. God created heavens and the earth. The word now is God's time. God does not live in time. God created time. He lives in eternity. Isaiah 57:15 says that. The high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Do you realize it has never been now before? It really hasn't. What it is now is now. The word now is in this passage speaking of God as being eternal. And so our history and our prophecy, our past, our future, to him, it is one now. It's hard to understand because we're creatures of time and space and matter. God is not a creature of time. He's not a God of matter. It doesn't matter to him. He is God. And God says now. There's a little piece of paper stuck beside of my desk that says, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? I see it often. It's convicting. I don't know the difference between right now and now. Now is now. But have you ever said, Lord, what do you want me to do now? That's God's thinking. Now. Does he not say that? Now is the day of salvation. Now. We want to think past and future. God's focus is on now. The eternality of God. Second thing in the verse, the word of the Lord speaks of the authority of God. The word. The word. And there's over 700,000 of them in our language. What does the word word literally mean? We use them all the time. Word. The word, word, speaks of three things. It speaks of identity, the word of the Lord. It speaks of character, I give you my word, or he is a man of his word. And it speaks of authority. That's the word when you apply it to God. You're speaking of the character of God. You're speaking of the identity of God, the character of God, and the authority of God. I pull out a checkbook, my checkbook, joint account, Fleeta and me, and I want to write a check. And I date it. I put in the amount that I want to pay. I put in the line of who this is to pay for, to pay to, I put that in cursive or print, and then I sign it. That's identity. My name, Glenn Matthews. But what I'm saying not only is that's who I am, I'm saying that's my character. I am telling you that my character is such that the figure that I've written, $25, $2,500, whatever, there is sufficient funds in the bank to cover the cost of that check. My character. And it's my money, and I have the authority to sign it. Now, when you apply that to God, to whom would you liken me? He asks, I am God. Beside me there is no other. And my glory I will not share to any man. The word, the identity, the character, the authority came unto Jonah. The word speaks of the selection of God. Jonah is not the chooser. God chose Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. It's amazing the number or the kind of people that God calls. I'm amazed that he would call any of us. But if you stop, and if you know as many preachers as I know, and I've been practicing preaching for 68 and a half years, well, I'm still practicing. The attorney says he's been practicing law for X number of years. The physician says, I've been practicing medicine for X number of years. Preachers ought to say, I've been practicing preaching. That's all I'm doing, because when I grow up, I want to be a cowboy. It's a whole lot safer than being a policeman in the world. But we're practicing. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. What a strange man to choose. Does God not know that this man will be disobedient? Instead of going east, northeast to Nineveh, the capital of the world, he will go west, northwest, trying to flee from God, and will be disobedient and will suffer the consequences of his disobedience. Yeah, there's a whole group of people that he could have called in that day. He could have sent King Uzziah. He could have waited later and called Josiah. He could have called a Daniel, but no, he calls Jonah, knowing that this man will disobey. I'm amazed at whom God calls. One fellow said to me, God has called me to preach, but I'm not going to preach. And my response was, why not? He said, I don't have a preacher's voice. I never have understood that. By the way, he never did preach. I don't think God called him. Because if God calls that man, he's going to preach or burst. Amen. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. God speaks of the knowledge of God. God knows Jonah. God knows you. God knows me. Of all the religions in the world, only in Christianity, are you seen as a person. The scriptures talk about God raising people from the dead. He raised the daughter of a man by the name of Jairus. He raised from the dead a young man, the son of a widow, and he raised from the dead his friend Lazarus. The widow's son had been dead but a few hours. The daughter Jairus had been dead but a few moments. Lazarus had been dead 4 hours. What did they have in common? Each of them was an only. The daughter of Jairus was his only daughter. this widow of Nain, her son was the only son. So with Lazarus, he was the only brother. Don't you know that God knows you as an only? I don't know how he does that, but he does that. I don't have to get on my knees, and I seldom do it now because they are getting old and they ache. But when I pray, I don't have to say, "Dear God, this is Glenn Matthews, second son of Ralph and Flora Matthews, living in Robbins, North Carolina, United States of America, world, planet Earth." God knows who I am. He knows who you are. And do you know you can't talk to him about anything that surprises him? So that frees you up to talk to him about whatever. And if it's important to you, it's important to him. Now, the word of the Lord, now, the eternality of God, the word of the Lord, the authority of God, word of the Lord came to Jonah. This is the selection of God, but he goes on with the knowledge of God that he knows specifically who Jonah is. He is the son of Amittai. God knows Amittai as well. And he said, "Arise, go to Nineveh." This is the commission, the message from God, the commission. Arise, go, and tell. Wake up. The word know, go, rise, and go is right now. Right now. Go right now. Again, I don't know the difference between right now, but the idea is at once. Immediately, do it now. How often do we do it now when God says? Our tendency is to delay, dispute, argue. God didn't call me, as though God made a mistake. The tendency is to delay and said, "I'll do it later." The tendency is to say, "I'll do something different." No. Not deny, not delay, not different, but obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way while we do the good will. He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Isn't it amazing how many songs we have about trust? And how few songs we have about obey? Am I preaching today to people in this room or by internet electronically, a people to somebody that God has said, "I want you, I've commissioned you, arise, go"? The only way you're going to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. The essence, the core, the heart, the essence of faith is that it trusts, T-R-U-S-T-S. But the evidence of faith is that it obeys. And your trust is never greater than your obedience. Here is this knowledge of God and the commission. Arise and go right now. And the next phrase, that great city. Do you know the city of Nineveh was laid out as a rectangular, and it was such a large city that it walked, it'd take you 3 days walking 20 miles a day to walk from the east end of the city to the west end. 3 days, 20 miles, it's 60 miles long. It was more than 10 miles wide, but it spread out all of that. By the way, when this people of Nineveh have interrupted myself again, okay? Bear with me. When the city of Nineveh repented, Jonah chapter 3, God spared the city of judgment. 100 years later, a new generation, a new people, Ninevites, refused to hear the preaching of Nahum, who came into that city and didn't preach repentance, he just preached judgment. There are only three verses in the first chapter of Nahum that are positive. Everything else is negative. Judgment, judgment, judgment. He did not preach repentance. The day of repentance was past. It was judgment that's coming. And in Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God. That doesn't mean get ready. It means the judgment is here. Ready or not, you shall be caught. That's the idea. I interrupt myself again. Do you suppose that America, 245 years old today, is in a Jonah moment where they can repent, or in a Nahum moment when repentance time has passed and judgment has come? God help us. Don't turn. Jeremiah chapter 6. Ask for the old paths. Stand in the ways. Stand. That's stop. And see. That's look. And hear. That's listen to what the Lord says. Ask for the old paths. Stop, look, and listen. But our country today is in such shape. We're not in a slippery slope. We're in a free fall. And Romans 3, and I could go through many verses in Romans or the writings of Paul. He sums it up in Romans 3:18 when he said, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Before their eyes? They don't even look to God. Dear friend, that's where we are in our world. We live in a pagan country. God have mercy on us. Here is the message, is cry against it. The preaching of the gospel is to those that are in the process of perishing, foolishness. On the radio this morning at 9 a.m. in Charleston, West Virginia, I preached broadcast number 3,116. My daddy started that weekly program in 61. He died in 64. His brother-in-law took it over. I buried him in 76. I've had it myself for over 45 years. And I preached this morning a message to people in my congregation, however many there were, the majority of which believe what I was telling because they listen to gospel preaching. But the majority of the population, including the staff of the radio, doesn't believe what I was saying. It pleased God when, in the wisdom of God, he knew that the world, by its wisdom, would never know him. It pleased him by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And every time I preach on that radio broadcast, there are people in that radio studio who don't believe a thing that I'm saying. You are a small, small minority and decreasing in size every day. Judgment. God doesn't judge and zap you out of a clear blue sky. It didn't take a lot of brains to figure that this country of ours is already undergoing the processes of judgment. And if there is no repentance, and I don't see any, then the judgments are going to become more severe and severe. Cry against it. The message of every prophet in the Old Testament, and Jonah is the only one who could be said to have been successful, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But he didn't preach to Jews, but to Gentiles. The message of the prophet is first confrontational. Every one of them was in your face. It then is condemnatory. They condemn. And then they call for repentance. And if there's repentance, then there's comfort. But the preaching of today starts backward with comfort. Never gets beyond that. Cry against it. Why? Here is the holiness of God. Their wickedness is come up before me. The people of Nineveh don't know God. They don't even know about him. Gods in every community, every culture has their own gods, plural. But they, well, the Jews, the Hebrews, they have their God. We don't know him. That's what Pharaoh said, Exodus 5, who is God? Who is Jehovah that I should obey? But God knows them. The holiness of God, their wickedness has come up before me. Three times in the Bible, that phrase, the wickedness of man, has come up before God. This is the third time. The first time is in Genesis chapter 6, where God says he saw that the thoughts and imaginations of man's heart was only wickedness continually. That's the world before the flood. There was grace extended 120 years. There was no repentance, and judgment came and took them all away. The second time that phrase, their wickedness, has come up is in book of Genesis also, chapter 18, where God saw, I'm going down and see Sodom because their wickedness, to see if their wickedness is such as has come up before me. And again, there was grace. Angels went to rescue people. No repentance, and the judgment came. In this instance, there was repentance, and judgment was spared. The wickedness comes up before God. You can never get a person saved until that person admits that he needs to be saved, that he's lost. And I said to the man in Lynchburg 40 years ago, I passed the track, God's simple plan of salvation. I filled up with gas. It's way late at night. He sits inside. He won't even come out. I put the credit card or the money in a little tray. He pulled it back in, and with it was the gospel track. I paid him, and I said, you got time tonight? Will you read that? He said, I don't need that. I've been saved a dozen times. Don't you realize you're in Lynchburg? Everybody in Lynchburg has been saved several times, he said. That's our world, people. Your wickedness comes up before God. David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Not only, but it's first, primary, preeminently. Who can, one of the reasons that Romans says that God may be just, right, and the justifier, the ones who makes right, is because all sin is against God. He is the only one who can forgive sin. The chapter goes on, the holiness of God. I'm not going to continue much longer. And the seventh thing is the judgment from God. The judgment has come up before me. God is pictured as being totally in control. You're accountable to God. Whether you recognize Him, His existence or not, you're accountable to Him. But He doesn't say, go to Nineveh and cry 40 minutes, 40 days. I heard a preacher said it was a miracle that Jonah walked 60 miles in one day. No, he walked in and started preaching the first day and said, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. The next day he was in the middle 20 miles and he said, 39 days. And the third day he said, 38 days. And the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast. That's another message. Do you know, every verse in this book, every verse is specific. It's Jonah, it's the seaman, it's the whale, the fish, it's Nineveh. Every verse is specific. It's a worm, it's a gourd, it's a wind, except one. I'll talk about that one tonight. Here is the thrust. He is in control. He sent the storm. He's the Lord of creation, a great fish. He's the Lord who answers prayer. He's the Lord who restores. He's the Lord of the second chance. He's the Lord who turns from judgment when people turn from sin. He is the God who is always right in His doings. Final statements. Number one, every one of us, each of us is accountable to God because of our sin. Number two, God judges sin and sinners. Number three, God will forgive sin and spare us from judgment if we will repent and turn from our sin. That is true for each individual. It's also true for our country. I see no signs of, quote, national repentance. I'm forced then to conclude that you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get worse. Here's the good news for an individual. Judgment can be prevented, turned aside, if you repent. You're a sinner. God loves you, wants to save you. You can't save yourself, or you would have done it a long time ago. But if you come, if you ask Him, He'll forgive your sin, come into your life, give you a home in heaven. That would be true for you. That would be true for the country. Again, I have convinced that this is what the Lord wanted me to preach to this people today. Bow your heads with me in prayer. Before I pray and before we sing, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, every person, balcony and floor, who can say without doubt, Brother Matthews, I know that I have trusted Christ. I know that I'm saved. If I died today, I would meet the Lord in heaven as a testimony of the grace of God, not to brag, but as a testimony. Raise your hand, hold it up. I want to look, and I'm looking first in the balcony. If you're not sure, don't raise it, and I'm looking still in the balcony. This is serious time. Are you sure? I'm still looking in the balcony. Now I'm looking on my left. Are you sure? I'm looking in the center sections. Keep them up. I'm still looking. Young boys don't have their heads up, don't have their hands up. Son, are you saved? Oh, okay, now he raises his hand. And I'm looking on my right. Thank you. Father, I've done as you've commanded. There's still yet room. If there's someone here not saved or not sure or even listening by internet today, I pray that right now they would confess to you they are a sinner and ask for your forgiveness of sins and accept them as your child as they accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And if there's such a person sitting here, I pray they will come forward and let one of these pastors know they can introduce them to Jesus and introduce Jesus to them. And there are people here who are lethargic, almost fatalistic, nothing we can do to change the situation. God, help us to rise and go to Nineveh and preach against it, because the wickedness of this country has come up before you. Help us to stand firmly on the truth, the word of the Lord that came to Jonah, the identity, the character, the authority of God, and help us to live pleasingly to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand, please.